Okay, here is the first letter to the editor. No U.S. boots. Region must defend itself. A coalition is not a coalition without troops to support a ground war. A war has never been won by air power alone, and we cannot afford to provide air power for an extended period. If those countries most susceptible to an ISIS invasion fail to realize their position and provide sufficient and immediate needed boots on the ground to counter the threat, then we need to cut our losses and get out of the region. Mr. President, no more U.S. boots on the ground. Signed, Henry Selfridge of the East Side.
And this one from John Wilson on the North Side. I see what you did there, Red Star. Read the September 29th editorial cartoon. I understand that the Red Star has been publishing anti-Obama editorial cartoons in order to placate readers who denounce the paper as a prejudiced liberal rag. Fair enough. But why publish the likes of Glenn McCoy's depiction of President Obama as someone who doesn't belong in the White House? There is plenty to criticize the administration for, so why bother with these petty fits? The cartoon doesn't only insult the president, insults the American public who put him in the White House by a substantial majority twice. Apparently, McCoy and his fellow editorial pettifoggers choose to forget that. Oh, I just got it. The Star publishes these tiresome cartoons to demonstrate just how ridiculous the prejudiced mind might be. Very clever. And again, that from John Wilson on the North Side.
$22 million is too much for animal care facility. Please vote no on Proposition 415 to renovate our animal shelter. Yes, there is great need, but $22 million is robbery of the taxpayers. Can you actually believe $22 million is needed? Consultation fee of $11 million? Really? Houston built a new facility for $9 million. How about we use $1 to $2 million to renovate one of our closed school buildings for abandoned animals? They were good enough for our children. Animals do not need a fancy, beautiful facility, just love and functional shelter. Times are hard. Many animals were abandoned because homeowners lost their homes and could not afford to keep or feed their beloved pets. Many people are in great need. Our streets are in great need, and we are losing our good teachers because Arizona does not pay a living wage. Do not agree to this extravagant and inflated fee. Please vote no on Proposition 415. Signed, R. Ashworth in Midtown.
And let's see, on animal issue, Miller advocates freeloading. Read the September 30th article, Prop 415, too costly? Private sector should have a role in animal care. I volunteer at a private no-kill animal shelter. And nobody I've met there agrees with Allie Miller's opposition to Proposition 415 or her proposal to rely on private shelters instead of rebuilding the Pima Animal Care Center. PACC is so overcrowded that without private shelters, many more animals would be killed. But running a private shelter means endlessly mopping and emptying litter boxes, begging for donations, searching for adopters, and apologizing to the vet because the bill is overdue again. What Miller calls efficiency sounds more like freeloading. The county washes its hand of the problem caused by residents dumping unwanted animals on PACC and takes advantage of a handful of people who spend their lives holding never-ending fundraisers. Maybe she would abolish the sheriff. Businesses can hire guards and citizens form militias. Ditto for garbage collection. Neighbors take turns hauling each other's trash to the dump. Education? Don't build schools and hire teachers. Mom quits her job and high schools and homeschools the kids. Her Tea Party constituents will love her. Off to you, Jeffrey.
Okay. And that was written by...
Oh, thank you.
Stephen Correll of the Foothills.
Yeah, okay. Sorry about that, Stephen.
Okay, we now go to Facebook comments from Star Readers. These are excerpts from online reader comments on one of this week's most talked about stories. Listeners, you can join the conversation at facebook.com/Arizona Daily Star Opinion. All of these posts are regarding Arizona is the sixth worst place to be a teacher, a report by Wallet Hub says. Here's the first post. Is it any wonder that Tucson Unified School District has a shortage of teachers? The baby boomers are retiring, and few young people are interested in becoming teachers because of the pay and the politics. Posted by Susan Piercy.
And we're not surprised. Teachers have been paying out of their own pockets to educate your children. That from Martha Hart.
You spend $40,000 for your bachelor's degree, plus another couple hundred bucks for those tests, all to get paid $32,000. Yeah, I'd say Arizona is definitely one of the worst. Posted by Bill Wade.
I think every parent already knows this. So sad. Beth Henyon Colby.
We are extremely pleased with the educators in the Vail School District. My son recently commented on how well prepared he feels for college. Posted by Evangeline Dowling.
And same as all other degrees, they still get state benefits all holidays and summer to work or not. We private sector folks, nah. That by Steve Baddart.
Well, at least I just moved here from the worst on the list, North Carolina. Posted by Bob Jutch.
Please support Arizona teachers. Support legislation that will improve our public school system. Demand fair play for educators and realistic teacher-student ratios. The future depends on our children's ability to succeed in a highly competitive world. We have choices. Vote for the candidates that support education. That by Donna Alvarado.
And the final Facebook post. It is really bad. When I moved to Arizona from California, I took a $20,000 cut in salary. Posted by Lynn Bacraft.
You know, I have a brother-in-law who is he taught all his life in California, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a son-in-law who told me that the teachers in California don't even have to contribute to the retirement program. It's
wow.
Funded by the state. Now, he's a lawyer, and I think he knows what he's talking about. My brother-in-law retired he worked hard enough to get his PhD in education. So,
oh, very nice.
He became principal at a school in San Francisco. When he retired, do you know what his retirement income was?
$112,000
a year.
Okay.
$112,000 a year, and he didn't have to put a penny towards that.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Well, I don't think we could ever do that in Arizona, and they say you'd leave. You know, California's kind of a, I guess they call it almost call it a welfare state, don't they? I don't know if they do or not, but they sure have a lot of stuff out there. But you know what? I don't know how people can live out there if they own a house. I mean, my brother-in-law's house was he bought it for like $35,000-$40,000 40 years ago. Now it's appraised at $700,000. And it's like the house next door is like you hold your arms out, you're gonna touch it.
Right. You can touch either wall.
Yeah, how do people afford to buy a house in California? I mean, his taxes are the same as they were. Basically, he doesn't pay as high a tax as I do here in Arizona on his $700,000 house because of that Jarvis Amendment, which was instituted, I don't know, many, many, many years ago.
I don't know it.
Well, what it said was you can't raise the taxes on these houses unless they're resold. And when they're resold, then the tax changes. Crazy. All that. I guess they didn't care about that. But anyway, I thought I'd blab a little bit.
All right. Thank you, Barney. Let me give you listeners a quick update of the time. It is 8:20 in the a.m. This is Sun Sounds of Arizona. And let me make a quick couple of mouse clicks.